Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Is there anyone who is grateful on this morning? Is there anyone who is grateful to be alive? Is there anyone who is grateful to be saved? Is there anyone who is grateful that they know Jesus on today? Is there anyone who is grateful that God loves us despite who we are, despite our shortcomings? Is there anyone this morning who is grateful unto the Lord? I don't know about you, but I'm grateful, hallelujah, that he woke me up this morning. I am grateful that he started me on my way in worshiping him this morning. I am grateful that I'm no longer in sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord, God. It's okay to worship the Lord. I know I come to preach, but I have to take the time to worship the Lord. Hallelujah, God. Giving honor to God, who is worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. Giving honor to you who are gathered here this morning. First to my pastor, Gary Coulter, Reverend Gary Coulter, and Lady Diane Coulter. To the ministers, any visiting or listening clergy. To the diaconate body. And to all my Mount Lebanon family. All my family that I see joining here, my biological family, to my husband, and to all the guests who are joining us on today. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I come today, I will be coming from a familiar passage of scripture, and that's Acts 8. And I'm going to be reading from verse 9 to 13, and then verse 18 and 19. I will be reading the King James Version, but I'll be preaching mostly from the New Living Translation. And again, I'm coming from Acts 8, verse 9 through 13, and then 18 and 19. And it reads this: But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. And when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. This is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Let us pray. Father God, it's in the name of Jesus that I come before you on today, Lord God. Lord God, looking to you from whence cometh my help, Lord God. Father God, the body feels weak on this morning for whatever the reason, Father God. But Lord God, I know that I can be made strong in you. I know that you are able, O God, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think, Father God. I pray, God, that you will take over at this moment, Father God, that you will preach the word through me, through your Holy Spirit, Almighty God. And then, Lord God, I pray that you prepare the hearts who are listening, Father, to hear a word from you on today, to hear what you're saying, Father God. It's not my word, God, but it's your word. So let your will be done on today, Father. I commit everything over unto you, Father, that you, O God, will lead, O God, and as you lead, I will follow. Father, I pray and I give you thanks for this opportunity. Bless your people on today, Father. In Jesus' name I pray and I give you thanks and say amen and amen. I will be preaching from the topic, God is exposing the pretenders. God is exposing the pretenders. And if I should put a subtopic onto it, It will be. It's time to get it together. It's time to get it together. My brothers and sisters in Christ, evil is present all around us. We have been seeing the wickedness of people's heart as they harden and become colder day after day. We don't need to look elsewhere to see the result of such wickedness. The senseless killings, random and vicious attacks on our citizens and strangers, and persecution in general against each other. It is right here in our nation, and as some would say, it has moved in our backyards. However, when we see these things as believers, it's not time to be afraid. It's not time to panic. It's not time to give up. But it's time to lift up our heads and look up, because our redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is soon to return. It's time to get it together, church. If you are an unbeliever on this morning, it's time that you get connected to Jesus Christ by accepting his offer of salvation before it's too late. Tomorrow is not promised. If you're a believer, make sure that you are hankered in the Lord. As I thought about the text on today, it brought me back to January 6, 2020 insurrection, the violent attack at the U.S. Capitol by a group of people with the intent of doing evil and claiming to stand in the name of our God. Through my reading, there were pictures, and some of the men were inside the U.S. Senate chamber rejoicing and praying, standing with their heads bowed and hands lifted up in worship unto God. One writer wrote that one man knelt praying with his face buried in his hands, offering prayer and thanksgiving unto God for his evil accomplishment. Another man shouted, "Jesus Christ, we invoke your name," while the others said, "Amen." There were others like these men committing sinful acts while praising God. Brethren, something is seriously wrong. Again, something is seriously wrong, and we need to get it together. Upon witnessing through reports what had happened, it's fair to say that we are living in some terrible times. In fact, the Bible in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 starts off by saying, "Know this, in the last days, perilous or dangerous times shall come." Then in the other verses, Paul the apostle made it plain as to how we will know that we are in perilous or dangerous times, adding that these times are an indication that we are in the last days. The scripture says people will be lovers of themselves and money. Paul went on to explain the signs of people being lovers of themselves. They're boastful, they're proud, abusive, blasphemers, ungrateful, high-minded, unloving, unforgiving, cruel. They hate good, have no self-control, and are lovers of pleasures rather than God, to name a few. 2 Timothy 3, 5 says, informs us that they act religious, but they will reject the power that can make them godly. We are warned that having nothing to do with them is the best thing to do. As I reflect on the insurrection and the text in Acts 8, it's fair to conclude that the insurrectionists, like the people of Samaria, were bewitched, charmed by a man for a long time who portrayed himself to be great, someone who is often spoken of by people as one who is great because of the things that he said and did. But this reason, it's for this reason God is exposing the pretenders, those coming under false pretenses or make-believe and misleading his people. You see, God is removing the coverings of those pretending to have a relationship with Him. People who have their own agendas and sinful desires and are bewitching the peoples with their idolatry and calling it godly. Again, brethren, it's time to get it together. Beloved, don't be deceived. As 1 John 4:1 says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. They're not hidden anymore, brethren. As God is exposing their lies and trickeries, exposing their false pretenses, and destroying their high places. It's important, brethren, that we study the word of God to be able to discern what is of God and what's not of God. As I look at the text in Acts 8, the apostles and followers of Jesus Christ were going through a lot. Stephen, a deacon whom the Bible describes as a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, was stoned to death for spreading the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible says at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Saul was going everywhere destroying the church. He went from house to house dragging out men and women, throwing them into prison. As I thought about Saul's motives and action, likewise the insurrectionists, they thought their wicked acts were bringing honor to God. I said that Saul's behavior was probably because of political or social problem, just like the rioters on January 6th. The Bible says the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus Christ wherever they went. As Genesis 50:20 implied, what was intended for evil, God used it for good. The believers were scattered, but they didn't stop their preaching or spreading the word. The Bible says Philip went from the city of Samaria and preached Jesus Christ unto them and performed miracles by casting out evil spirits, healing paralyzed and lame, and many people were saved as a result, and there was great joy in the city. Brethren, you see, when we are led by the Spirit of God, nothing can stop our ministry. If we remain obedient and faithful unto the divine plan of God and to divine purpose that He has for us, you see, the enemy will try to get rid of us. The enemy will try to destroy us, just like he's attacking my body on today. But I come to put the enemy on notice that I will preach the word of God. I will bless the Lord at all times, and that His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Therefore, I'm not looking at the situation. I'm looking to the God who can calm the situation and control the situation. Hallelujah, God. Acts 8:9 introduces us to a man named Simon in Samaria. He had been a sorcerer, or one who did magic, there for many years, bewitching the people and claiming to be someone great. That's the problem with many people like Simon. They yearn to be someone that they're not and will go to any extreme to obtain prestige and attention, manipulating their audience or followers. Their behavior is for their own selfish gains, and they care about no one else but about themselves. The Bible says from the least to the greatest often spoke of Simon the sorcerer as the great one, the power of God. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. This is total misrepresentation of God. Just like what the insurrectionists did, went in there. One even went as far as to say he was there to plead the blood of Jesus Christ over the place while doing an evil act, while doing an act in an establishment that was established by God. Hallelujah, God. Brethren, our God forbids us from having itchy ears and turning away from the truth. We are forbidden from practicing divination or witchcraft, fortune telling, going to medium, or practicing any form of idolatry. Yet some Christians are dealing in them undercover. But I warn you on today, God is watching you. Unseen eyes are watching you. Eventually, God will expose those tricksters and pretenders. Again, I say God will expose those tricksters and pretenders. But there is hope for the people who don't know the truth. Despite the pretender, the Bible says the people believed Philip's preaching or message of the good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And as a result, many men and women were baptized. You see, despite the pretenders, God will send forth his people who will bring them the truth. The truth is, some people don't know the truth. But those of you who know the word of God, which is the truth, it's time to repent and put away your idols before it's too late. And as we talk about idols, many are thinking of just witchcraft and fortune telling and going to medium. But idols are those things that you put ahead of God. The family, the cars, the job, all those things that you put in front of God. The things that you respond to more than you respond to God. The things that control your life. Hallelujah, God. The Bible says after the people accepted salvation, Simon himself believed and was baptized. The Bible said he began following Philip wherever he went and was amazed by the signs and great miracles Philip performed. Church, make no mistake, the imposters and the pretenders want what the believers have. They're fascinated by the power of God working in us, even though they might deny it. Again, brethren, know you who you are in God and know who sent you. The pretenders are watching you. The pretenders want what you have, and that's why they often come to manipulate you. Hallelujah, God. Just like the one is trying to manipulate me on today, but I'm going to preach the word. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Furthermore, a great move of the Almighty God will put them to shame and will put them out of business. You see, the light will always put out darkness. So don't stop letting your light shine, especially in these dark and evil days, especially when you're going through dark moments. The light will put out darkness. The Bible says when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there, even though we don't know the time frame. However, as soon as Peter and John arrived, they prayed for the new believers to receive the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit had not come yet upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says Peter and John laid hands upon the believers and they received the Holy Ghost. Knowing the history of separation between the Jews at Jerusalem and the Samaritans, this was powerful because God's kingdom there had no separation. God's kingdom has no separation. There's no division and no exclusion. All are welcome and all are included as we are one. John 3:5 says we have to be born of the water and have the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Help the Holy Ghost. The Bible says we need baptism of the water and of the Holy Ghost according to Acts 1:5. The believers were already baptized in water. Peter and John consecrated them. However, in order for them to receive the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, they must be obedient unto the Lord and they have to be on one accord as we saw on the day of Pentecost. How many of you know that what's inside a person will come out sooner or later? The Bible says when Simon saw the Spirit was given by the apostles laying the hands on the people, he offered them money to buy the power. I want to tell the pretenders on today, the working of the power of God is attractive. but it can't be bought. Either we have it or we don't, but we can have it all if we want, if we accept salvation, have faith in Jesus Christ, and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. But it can be bought, and it's not for sale. God can't be manipulated. He's not mapped. Whatever a person sows, that will he or she also reap. You see, Simon got a glimpse of God's power as he worked through his Holy Spirit in the apostles and was fascinated by such power. But because his heart was not in the right place, he offered them money and shouted, "Let me have this power too, so that when I lay my hands on the people and they will receive the Holy Spirit." His hunger and thirst for the power was getting the better of him, but he was too selfish to see it. He accepted the Lord, but wasn't willing to wait for his timing. He wanted the power, but he wanted it the wrong way. Now for the Simons that are listening, those who believe that they can buy the power of God and are laying hands on people for them to receive the Holy Ghost under false pretense, you're messing with fire. God is a consuming fire. Be careful, you might be burned. All power belongs to God and is given by God. No person can give it to you, or it can't be purchased with money. Furthermore, it's the anointing that makes the difference. Tainted hands and hearts won't cut it. And there's a personal relationship between God and the person. There has to be an established relationship. The person has to be led by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come that easy. So put your money back in your pockets. I want to clarify that as a follower of Jesus Christ, there is nothing wrong with desiring to have spiritual gifts like Peter, John, and Philip. But it's our motive, it's our hearts that we have to think about. Our hearts need to be pure, and we need to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit of God for God to entrust us with his spiritual gifts. We can't be doing unholy acts and think that God is going to bless us with his spiritual gifts. The devil is a liar. It's apparent Simon's heart hadn't changed, though he got baptized. I'll say that again, because someone needs to hear that. It's apparent Simon's heart didn't change or hadn't changed, though he got baptized. Think about it. If the people received the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost when Peter and John laid hands on them, shouldn't Simon have been a part of that group? Wasn't he baptized also? It leads one to wonder if he was still about his selfish gains, and that's why he followed Philip, trying to see if he can learn something new. It would appear that he was looking to improve his business, wanting to remain great and have more power to continue his magic and bewitching the people, or to do new magical wonders. He probably felt adding Yahweh, the supreme God, to his list of small gods would help influence his work in deceiving God's people. Again, the devil is a liar. But Peter responded to Simon's request, saying, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent from your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts, for I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin." Brethren, this is not only for Simon. I need the Simons that are listening to hear this on this morning. We need to let go of the jealousy. We need to let go of the bitterness. We need to let go of the high-mindedness. We need to let go of the things that want us to be seen by everyone. We need to be let go of the things that want us to exalt ourselves and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of Almighty God. Hallelujah, God. I love Peter's response, because it not only was a rebuke, But the Holy Spirit wanted Simon to see himself and do self-examination. He was also given the opportunity for repentance of sin so that God can free his mind from the evil thoughts and the corrupt heart which he have entangled him in sin. You see, Simon ended up asking Peter to pray for him that what Peter said wouldn't happen to him. And brethren, as believers, we need to be praying for the Simons because they all need to find their way. They all need to find that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no one that go unto the Father but through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, God. Was it that Simon still didn't get that he needed to change? Was he still looking out for himself at the other's expense? Why didn't he pray for himself? Why did he ask Peter to pray for him? Who knows? But like the Simons of the day, they just need to get it together. Brethren, in this season, God is exposing the pretenders. God is exposing the false prophet, those that are coming in his name. And as he exposed them, we need to take note of them because there are many among us. In conclusion, there's no doubt that we're in the last days. The scripture is being fulfilled. It's time to put away our selfish ambitions, deny self, and take up our cross and follow after Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ said, he will come quickly, and his reward is with him to give every person according to his or her work. He also said he's coming like a thief in the night. Wherefore, we are to be ready at all times for his appearing. Don't be ignorant and believe people who reject this belief that Jesus is the Messiah of the world, that Jesus is coming back. Don't be tricked by the tricksters. Revelation 21:8 informs us that the cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their faith is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur, aka hell. However, the beauty of the love of God for us is that he will put our sins away and give us the opportunity to correct it. He said he will wipe them away. He gives us the opportunity, brethren, after he reveals our sin to us. He gives us the opportunity to make it right, to repent, to seek forgiveness. And if we don't, then we have to face his judgment. Hallelujah. The beauty of the love of God, it says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Brethren, it's time to get it together. Time is winding down. We are in the last days. The word of God is manifesting itself. He said these things will happen. Men will be lovers of themselves. Men's heart will act what's cold. And that's why we're seeing all these senseless killings. That's why we're seeing all these things that are happening around us. But it's not time to look back. It's not time to go back. It's time to move forward, but we cannot do it without the Holy Spirit of God. We cannot do it without accepting salvation that Christ came to offer. We cannot do it without maintaining a relationship with God and staying steadfast in the Lord. It doesn't matter what we have done. It doesn't matter where we have been. It doesn't matter who people say we are. And it doesn't matter even if we're pretending at this moment. Today is the day that we can make it right with God. You see, the enemy doesn't want me to preach this message because there are idolaters in the body of Christ. There's witchcraft going on because we have put down our salvation for other things. We have put it down, some of us, for COVID. We have put it down because we're in financial crisis. We have put it down because we have lost our jobs. We have put it down because the family is acting up. We have put it down because And as the word says, he didn't say what, but who can separate us from the love of God? There's no peril, no attack of the enemy on my body, no attack in the body of Christ that can stop me from worshiping the God of my salvation. I almost called in on today and say I can't preach, but I must preach the word of God because I've learned how to be content in whatever situation that I'm in. I'm not looking at the storms, but I'm looking to the God of the storms, from whence cometh my help. Thank you, and to God be the glory. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus, the pretenders, my God, my God.